Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Please join us now for this life-changing message.
I want you to open your Bibles with me to John chapter 8. I'm sorry, I said the wrong thing. John chapter 8. You know, I can't see very well from up here, so I'm going to stand down here. Is that okay? The lights are blinding me, and I like to see everybody, Mackenzie. And, I'm going to talk about the power of the gospel today. And I'm not going to preach long, because blessed is he who preaches short, for he shall be invited to return. And besides that, if I speak too long, my wife will stand up and say, "Let my people go free." And she can be tough, let me tell you. So anyhow, I'm going to speak today about being free to be who you're really supposed to be. Free to be who you're really supposed to be. I don't like being in a box. I can't stand it when somebody puts me in a box. I can't stand it when somebody wants me to fit into some mold that they think a man is supposed to be in, a husband's supposed to be in, a father's supposed to be in, a preacher's supposed to be in. You know, I meet people all the time as we travel around the world. They say, "So what do you do for a living?" I say, I usually don't sugarcoat it all. I just say, "I'm a preacher." And they look at me like, "You're a preacher?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm the new style of what preachers are supposed to be." And I don't want to be in a box. I don't want to live in a box. And the world wants to put us in a box. The world wants us to conform and be in a certain little image with a certain hairstyle and a certain skinny-legged pants. By the way, I don't like skinny or big-legged pants. I like medium-legged pants. Okay? But the world wants to put us in a box. Every one of us have been put in a box before. You know, there's a terminology we use now called profiling, and that's putting people in a box. It's looking at somebody and saying, okay, he's 32 years old, he's got semi-skinnies on, he's got a blonde wife, so he must be this, this, and this. Right? The world puts us in a box. I don't want to be in a box. I don't want to go to a church box. I don't want to go to a social box. I want to be exactly who God created me to be. And he created me to be me, not you. And, you know, sometimes I'll be a little nervous about something when we're going someplace, we're going to do something, and Sherry will know it, and Sherry will just say, "Jack, just be you." And thank God we learned a few years ago, people don't want me to come and be somebody else. They want me to come and be me. And when I try being something else or somebody else or pleasing somebody else, I fail to be me. But we live in a world that puts us in these boxes. And once you get put in a box, sometimes that box so controls you and shapes you where you never get a chance to be who you're really supposed to be. You know, I forgot to mention Don Leith this morning. Now, Don Leith is my really good friend, and we've been friends for a really long time. And his wife, Terry, sitting right over there, just the sweetest girl in the world. I never can figure out how Don and I got Terry and Sherry, but we did, thank God. Yeah. Anyhow, they want to put us in a box. You know, my whole life, people want to put you in a box. I was a pastor's son, so people thought a pastor's son should be like this and this and this. Well, I didn't want to be like this and this and this. I wanted to be like this, you know. When Sherry and I went into ministry, some of you guys remember when we were young, I used to have a Fu Manchu, and I wanted my hair to be not real long, but long, and I rode a motorcycle, and I was a nonconformist. And I would go to church, drop Sherry off on Sunday morning so she could go to Sunday school. And I, along with some other guys, including Kevin's dad, would go down to a restaurant on Cherokee and have breakfast. And then we'd come back up to the church just in time for the service to start. Go into the service. When the singing was finished, I would go outside and smoke a cigarette in front of the church, which I'm sure was great promotional for the church, to have guys like me standing out front smoking. I'd go out and smoke, and when the offering would be over, I'd go back in and sit by Sherry. Then we'd all go out, have a great time. All that was cool, but I didn't fit into that church box very well. And when I became a Christian, I've known that I don't fit into the Christian box very well. You say, what does that mean? Well, you know, I believe all the things that you hear people say about Christians. We're supposed to be nice and kind and sweet and giving and caring, and I am all of that. Anybody that really knows me knows that. But there's another side of me that's none of that. It's kind of like a few years ago, we lived in this, moved into the street we live on, and I wanted to pave the street. It was gravel, so I had this idea all the neighbors would pay a certain amount, and one neighbor said, well, I'm not going to pay. And so he told another neighbor, if that jack says another word, I'm going to meet him out in the middle of the street. So when the neighbor told me that, I said, well, look, I don't want you to be my messenger boy. But if he says that to you again, you just tell him if he wants to dance, I'll be in the street. And so the next day, the nice guy stopped me again and said, hey, I told him what you said. I said, does he want to dance? He said, well, he said, I thought he was a preacher. And I said, I am a preacher, but I was a man first. Yeah, I don't want to be in that box, okay? I think there's a way I'm supposed to be, and I miss it sometimes, maybe more than I should, but I want to be the way God wants me to be, not the way people want me to be. And you know, John 8:32, the Bible says, he the Son sets free is free indeed. I think we can be exactly who we're supposed to be, live a righteous life, and be free. I have a great friend I met in Bible college over 30 years ago, and we're still close friends today. His name is Rusty, and Rusty was a football player for Louisiana State University, and in a playoff game against Nebraska, he blocked a kick, a punt, a field goal, I guess, and when he blocked the field goal, LSU won the national championship. So he was a hero. And that night he was out partying with some friends, and he had a knife in his pocket, and he got into a little argument with somebody, and he pulled the knife out and stabbed a guy, and he went to prison. And he wasn't from a Christian family. He didn't know anything about God or church, but when he got in prison, he found it out he needed God. And he became a Christian. And he only knew one scripture, and that scripture was, he the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And so he would pray that prayer every day, and he went to a prison where he was the only, he was there because of manslaughter. So he was with all the murderers and all the bad guys, you know, all the lifers. And he was there, and every day he would say this prayer, God, he the Son sets free is free indeed. Please help me get free. And that's all he knew. And one day they came to his cell, one evening actually, and they said, come here, we want to talk to you. And they took him to the warden's office and they said, listen, nobody in the prison knows this, but we're closing this prison tonight. And everybody in this prison is transferring to a different prison except for you, and you're going home. And they released him just like that. So when I first met Rusty Domain, he would always say, he the Son sets free shall be free indeed. It's a shame that we live in a world where people can't be free to be who they're really supposed to be because we're all in boxes. We live in a plastic world. Everything is plastic. You know, we met this old guy years ago named Preacher Mike, and Preacher Mike would always say, God doesn't want no plastic. You don't have to be plastic to be a Christian. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to go to church in a shirt and tie. You can wear a Harley shirt. It's okay. Okay? You don't have to have your hair. I like all these young guys with their hair up like that. You guys look great. Look, that's not me. I can't do that. Okay? This is me right here, okay? My wife makes me wash my hair every day. I keep it clean, but I don't put it up like that. You know what we call that when we were young, don't you, Don? That was that Cupid doll look. Yeah, I want to be who I am. I want Josh to be who he's supposed to be. I want Kevin to be who he's supposed to be. We're supposed to be free, but you know what happens? We live in a world that puts you in a box. You have to work a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. You know, all of us bikers come riding up this morning. It's not hard to tell who the bikers are here today. You can pretty well pick them out because we all fit into that biker box, okay? And all of us but one are riding a Harley, and we're praying for him. He's a nonconformist, that's right. But he's seeking salvation. Now, you know there's a scripture, Romans chapter 12. I love this scripture. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, it's possible to be a better you than most of us are. It's possible for me to be a better me than I am. It's possible for you to be a better you than you are. How does that happen? You get transformed. Don't be conformed, be transformed. How does that happen? You know, really, It seems complicated to do what I'm getting ready to say. And that's because in our mind, we have all these things built up about it. But how do you get really free and how do you be transformed? You just put your life in the hands of God. We think we have to have everything all worked out before we put our life in God's hand. You know, I know there's some of you here that are Christians today. And when you hear me say that, you think, oh, I've done that. Well, you know, I bet if we did a survey, maybe you've only done it to a certain, you know, a little bit, but you didn't do the whole thing. Just put your life in God's hands. You know, I've talked to lots of guys. You know, I like tough guys. There's a lot of tough guys in the Bible. I was reading this morning, you know, David had this huge army, but he had three guys that were the baddest dudes of all. They were really bad. And their names were Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah. And they were bad. They could kill hundreds of men by themselves. Then David had 30 more guys that were just as tough as those three guys, but they weren't his best friends. He had three best friends. So then he had the 30, and then he had 300. The Bible's full of tough guys. You don't have to be some kind of a mousy, weak guy to be a Christian. But in our mind, most guys think, yeah, you have to be really mousy to be a Christian. I don't think you have to be a mouse to be a Christian. I think you can be a man. I think you can be strong. You know, guys in the Bible, they carry swords and knives. I bet they would have had 9mm if they were here today. They did. You know, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter just jumped up and cut a guy's ear off just like that. So Jesus picked it up and stuck it back on. So my philosophy is if you have to cut it off, make sure you can stick it back on. If you can't stick it back on, maybe you shouldn't cut it off. No, you don't have to become some weakling, some little mousy, henpecked guy to be a Christian. You don't have to become some woman that's so submissive that she doesn't have her own ideas, her own opinions, her own life. When you really get free, what you're doing is you're just saying to God, okay, God, between you and me, let me be the best I can be. Help me be the best me I can be. And you know, I started to say this a second ago. I don't want to miss this thought that we think we need to clean ourselves up and then God can do something with us. Look, you're going to mess it up if you do that. Don't try clean. You say, well, you know, you don't know about my past. No, I don't know about your past, but we all have a past. We've all made mistakes. We've all done stupid things. We all have regrets. We all have things we wish we would have done better. We wish we would have done different. But you know, one of the great lessons in life is to learn you can't change the past. You can't change anything in your past. As a matter of fact, I don't understand this, and I know having Don and Ronnie and Kevin here that you guys knew me years ago, I don't know how God could take all of that to make me who I am today, but he took all that messed up part of me and somehow uses that to help me help people around the world today. You can't change your past. And we always think, you know, if I could do that or if I would change that. No, God doesn't care about that. That friend of mine that went to prison and would pray every day, he, the son sets free, shall be free indeed. When we were in Bible college, he met this girl, and he really liked her, and he was dating her. And her mom was one of those super spiritual people that God would speak to all the time. And Rusty would pray every day. Him and I would pray at school together every day. And he'd pray every day, and he'd say, God, please don't tell Julie's mom I'm an ex-convict for manslaughter. Let me tell her in the right time. You knew him, didn't you, Kevin? You went to Bible school there too. He was a bodybuilder, big tough guy. He would pray that every day, please, God, don't tell Julie's mom that I'm an ex-con. I'll tell her when the time is right. So one day he prayed that and he heard God speak and God said, why do you keep reminding me that you're an ex-con? I forgave you of that. I'm not going to tell her something that I've already forgiven you about. It set him free. He got free when he got saved. He got free when he got out of prison, but he got free again when he got out of the box. And that's what that scripture is talking about. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How do you transform? By the renewing of your mind. It's how you think. It's how do you, and I don't have time to cover all of this today, but you can read that Romans 12. You become transformed by the renewing your mind with the word of God, which means you don't listen to what this person says about you and conform to that. You don't listen to what that person says and conform to that. You listen to what God says and you conform to that. Okay? And if you'll let God transform you, it's a process. It takes some time. We're all still in the process. But he will just move you from step to step to step. He'll help clean up the things that need to be cleaned up, sharpen the things that need to be sharpened, improve the things that need to be improved. You may find out if you could really, really just put your life in God's hand, you may find out there's things about you that are so cool and so great and so powerful that you never understood, and God will help you understand that and help you be happier than ever. We don't lose everything when we become free. We gain things when we become free. But we mess things up. That's our nature. We just mess things up. You know, God gives us a gift to do something and we mess it up. God gives us an ability to do something and we use it for the wrong thing. Just be who you're supposed to be. You know, I like to talk to men and just say, come on, man, just trust God. I say this to guys that are far from God, guys that are totally as opposite as positive and negative can be from God. I tell them, look, I'm not asking you to go to church. I'm not asking you to read your Bible. I'm not asking you to give money. All I'm asking you to do is, and you can do it privately, anywhere you want to, anytime, just say to God, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to let you come into my life. And if you'll do that, yeah, there's a lot more I wish you would do. I wish you would pray every day. I wish you really would get to know God. I wish you really would, you know, get fired up about being a Christian. But if you'll just do that one thing, just say, okay, God, here I am. I'm going to open my life up to you. Come into my life and help me be who you want me to be. God will step by step help transform you. And you know what? You'll like it. You'll like it. It's pretty cool when God uses you. It's pretty cool when you live a life and you know that it's impacting other people and helping them. That's the cool thing about being a Christian. Look, I love church. I'm pumped about being here today. I'm so excited about being here today. I've met a lot of new people. See a lot of my old friends like Cam sitting there today. I love being here. But this is not what it's all about. It's not all about having some title or something. It's all about being who God wants you to be. People say to me, well, I don't like Christians. I don't like most Christians either. That's a joke. I like some Christians. No, it's not about all of that. It's about just saying to God, okay, I'm going to trust you. And when you trust him and you put your life in his hands, he'll help you be the best you can possibly be. Look, I can't stand the thought of people that go to bed at night hurting. I can't stand the thought of people that have been wounded in their life. Someone hurt them, assaulted them, abused them, mistreated them. I can't, you know, I see people that just looks like they don't get the right breaks in life and their life is tough. That breaks my heart. But even more, I can't stand the thought of them thinking, nothing goes right for me. I'm just in trouble. My life's a mess. It doesn't have to be that way. It can turn around. It can be transformed if you stop conforming. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the process of just giving God your life. I've said this scripture in front of millions of people. I love this scripture. It has deep meaning to me. But in the Bible, as Jesus is talking, he says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if any man will open the door, I'll come in and live with him. That's as simple as it gets right there. It's a matter. He's standing there right now. This is going to be the only corny part of my message, okay? Right now, for some of you, you hear that little on the inside and Jesus is saying, let me in. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And if you'll open the door, doesn't mean you have to understand everything. Doesn't mean you have to change anything today. It just means open the door and say, okay, come into my life, Jesus. You'll be amazed what'll happen. You'll be amazed. It won't happen overnight. It takes some time. You know, I've seen people's lives change so powerfully. I've seen people that were in such a mess and it looked impossible, but God, step by step, would bring them out of that. And it's a process that we go through. And I want to see all of you go through that process. If you've never done that, I'm not going to make a big deal today. I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm not going to have you get down on your knees. I'm not going to sprinkle you with water, but I am going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to touch your heart in ways you've never been touched. And my hope is that while I'm praying here in just about 1 minute, that you'll just whisper a prayer to yourself, to God, and say, okay, Jesus, come into my life, and let's see what you can do. And if you give him that chance, you'll be amazed what will happen. And some of you that have been Christians for years, I hate to tell you this, you're still in that box, and you need to get out of that box. You've been hurt in the past. Things happened that were unfair, that you didn't like or understand, and those things hold you in bondage. And if you'll let go of them today and just simply say, God, I'm going to let go of that today. I'm not going to let that hold me in bondage. I'm going to be free today. My friend Rusty went to prison, and he was behind bars. Some of my friends are in prison, and there's no bars. Don't be that kind of person. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for every single person that's here. God, you know my heart. I didn't preach this message for anybody. I preached it for you because I thought this is what you wanted me to say. And I know that you've touched hearts here today. And Jesus, I know you're knocking on some heart's door right now. And you're saying, let me in. And my prayer is that those people, that you're knocking on the door of their heart, that they'll open the door and say, come in, Jesus. Then whatever happens after that, God, it's just between you and them. God, I pray for people here that are in prison, but there's no bars. It's because they've been hurt or disappointed or they've fallen, they fell. Let them be free today too, God. Help us be free to be who you really want us to be, God.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026, or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.